This podcast is for investment professionals only. The value of investments and the income from them may go down as well as up, and investors may not get back the amounts originally invested. Past performance is not a guide to future performance. The information is not an offer, solicitation, or recommendation of any funds, services, or products, or to adopt any investment strategy.
Good day, everyone. I'm Ron Insana, Senior Advisor to Schroders, and welcome to the U.S. Lens once again as we take a look at the global economy, often from a U.S. perspective, but sometimes in reverse, where we look at the U.S. and the rest of the world from the point of view of some of our portfolio managers around the world. And to do that today, we're joined by Justin Abercrombie. He is team head and lead portfolio manager of our quantitative equity products business. He's been at Schroders for nearly 25 years and has been the portfolio manager of the International Multicap Value Strategy since 2006. Justin, thanks for being with us today.
Hello.
Let me ask you about the globe. But first, when we talk about the U.S., as we reopen here, and New York State, for instance, is opening today, S&P 500 has been a pretty strong leadership index so far this year. What do you make of the entire global equity environment at the moment?
Well, I mean, taking a step back, if I look at global equities, we've had a huge recovery recently, but actually we've been in a very strong market for a number of years. You know, over the last 10 years, the world market has basically produced a return of 10% per annum over that time. U.S. equities have actually performed, stronger than that, 13.5% per annum over 10 years. The world ex-U.S. international equities have only actually managed to deliver 5.5% per annum over the last 10 years. And emerging markets, which used to be the sort of hope for growth area, have only actually delivered 3.5% per annum to investors over the last 10 years. So a large part of the bull market we've seen that last 10 years has been dominated by the U.S. And now we're seeing, you know, quite a wide dispersion of opportunity. And actually, we think there's huge opportunity in the international market now.
And so let me ask you specifically about that with respect to investing internationally post the COVID-19 crisis. You hinted that your outlook is positive. Can you elaborate on that just a bit?
Well, we're seeing that the market's been very narrow over the both pre-crisis and since the crisis. You know, people are focused on the sort of well-known sort of growth names within the market. So market breadth, which we kind of measure how sort of narrow the market is, market breadth has been very narrow. And we see, you know, potentially a broadening of the opportunity set, and to invest in perhaps stocks that you may be less familiar with, or the ones that are less well known to the sort of investors recently. So, for example, industrial stocks in Europe would be an area where we think there's lots of quality companies that are being looked over. Some of the healthcare stocks, some of the telecom stocks, again, just less familiar. Less go-to stocks, but actually, you know, have strong balance sheets, stable businesses, and very attractive valuations.
So with respect to that, there have also been some areas of the market, both domestically, as far as the U.S. is concerned, and globally, like resources, like financial stocks, like the cyclicals or industrials that you mentioned. Are those likely to play catch-up with the peers that have led the markets higher thus far?
Yeah, I mean, there are a huge array of the sort of, the deeper value opportunities, as you mentioned, resources, financials. I mean, just looking at resources, energy stocks over the last 10 years, you've actually lost money investing in energy stocks over the last years. So a huge underperformance there. When we look within resources, we would be somewhat more selective. We like, for example, mining stocks. We think that on the whole, they have less of some of the pressures that energy has. Within energy, in particular, we'd probably be more biased towards the stocks with the better balance sheets and avoiding too much leverage, which some of those stocks do have, and also probably be a bit careful about some of the the stocks that score less well on some of the environmental criteria, which is increasingly playing a role in investors' decisions.
Can I just follow up on that point for a moment with respect to ESG concerns? You know, one of the interesting byproducts, if you will, of the shutdown globally is that we saw a major retreat in pollution. And now that, for instance, China has reopened and Europe is reopening and now the U.S. as well, all the air pollution, for instance, in China has come back and appears to be even worse than before. How big of a role will ESG play going forward, given that we've seen and made manifest that the human impact on the environment is quite pronounced?
Yeah, I think, there's been quite a lot of discussion about how people have enjoyed the better air quality, more sort of, in touch with nature over the sort of lockdown period. So I think that's going to play on people's minds. I also think that there's a huge opportunity now where undoubtedly there's going to be a lot of government expenditure and investment trying to keep and renew growth in economies. And, there's a big demand to, focus some of that investment in perhaps more of an environmentally led, approach to investment in future. So I think that there's still a big opportunity for us to get that ESG thing right.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. So let me get to you. I know you're going to talk about the financials. That they too have lagged. How do you feel about them at this juncture?
It's easy to generalize over financials, but I mean there are a number of pockets there. The biggest one is people tend to think about banks first. When we look at banks, a lot of the or a number of banks have taken a long time to delever their balance sheets and get the balance between the leverage and returns right. In some places that hasn't happened yet. So we would still favour banks that have sorted out their leverage. And even the ones that have sorted out their leverage in Europe, they still have some challenges in terms of turning profitability at those lower level of leverage. So within financials, we would actually tend to prefer some of the non-bank financials. Insurance stocks look a much better prospect, much more profitable, and don't have some of the solvency leverage issues. Asset managers, other non-bank financials also attractively priced and again don't have some of the sort of credit and leverage risk there. So we would tend to perhaps focus on the non-bank financials.
Now, coming into 2020, one of the big, contrary bets was that small cap stocks would start to perform better than large cap stocks. And clearly, because of their direct exposure to economic activity, they've been crushed up until recently. Do you expect that they will, in fact, start to outperform in a more meaningful way?
As we discussed, I mean, it's been a very narrow market and the very largest stocks have dominated for a number of years, which is against the longer term trend that smaller companies can tend to generate a slightly higher return over time. Our approach is to say, well, let's think about the market and try not to get too hung up on the size disposition. So if I was to look at the market, I would end up in a position where I think there are attractive mega cap stocks, there are attractive large cap stocks, and there are also attractive smaller micro stocks. So at the moment, we'd be looking at roughly a kind of third across those different sort of cohorts of size.
All right, and finally, the question about value, which very much like small cap, was believed finally to be finding its footing in 2020, and instead growth continues to dominate. Do you see value coming back, or is it dead, as some people suggest?
It's been an incredibly elongated cycle for growth stocks relative to value stocks. And some of that growth, or a large portion of that growth outperformance actually has been warranted. Those growth stocks have delivered. And the unusual thing is perhaps that those growth stocks are delivered over a multi-year period. Normally growth stocks do well for a bit. Then you get competition, regulation, mean reversion, better technology. But what you've seen is a multi-year outperformance of growth stocks over that time. However, what we think is that the simple sort of definition of value needs to be refined. So when we look at value, we want to say, well, what's the overlay with quality? And we think that the real sweet spot, the real opportunity, is that sort of interchange between value and quality. We think there are lots of quality stocks on good valuations, and we think that's kind of the neglected part of the market. Some of the pharmaceutical stocks, industrial stocks, and even telecom stocks as well. We think there's a lot of probably a lot of opportunity in perhaps the slightly more boring stocks that have good balance sheets, good level of profitability, and pretty low valuations at the moment.
All right, Justin, appreciate your insights. Thanks for joining us today. Justin Abercrombie, team head and lead portfolio manager of Schroders Quantitative Equity Products business. He's also the portfolio manager of the International Multicap Value Strategy. Thanks very much for being with us today. I'm Ron Insana, senior advisor to Schroders. Thanks for listening to us through a U.S. lens. We'll talk to you again next week.
That was the podcast. We very much hope you enjoyed it. If you want to get in contact with us, email us at schroderspodcast@schroders.com. You can read more at schroders.com/insights. And you can listen to our back catalogue at schroders.com/the investor download. Remember, you can rate, review and subscribe to us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, with new shows available on a Monday and Thursday from 5 p.m. UK time. But above all, keep safe and go well. Cheers.